Strap on your headphones, nerdlingers, because it's time to get your geek on.
Who's got the latest? Who's got the greatest? Who puts dog darts in your head?
Set your compasses north by northwest, ladies and babies. It's time to rhyme in the pines.
It's time for 206 Geek!
From the shores of the sound...
All right, hey everyone, this is Todd. This is 206 Geek, and I'm your host. Oh, wow, there's lots of things to talk about today. I actually recorded a bunch of stuff to talk about, and one of the things is I went and saw the new Tomb Raider movie, which I really, really enjoyed. I actually enjoyed that movie much more than I thought I would. I thought it was better than the last two. Of course, those movies came out over a decade ago now. It doesn't feel like it's been that long, but yeah, this is so much better than the Angelina Jolie movies. So here is me talking about the Tomb Raider movie. All right, well, check this out. I finally got to see the new Tomb Raider movie that just came out, and it was really good. I actually really enjoyed it, and you know, I was convinced that the woman who played Lara Croft in the movie was the same woman who voiced it and did the motion capture for the video game from 2013, but I was wrong. The woman who plays Lara Croft in the movie is Alicia Vikander, I think that's how her last name is pronounced, and the woman who played Lara Croft in the video game from 5 years ago, or 4 years ago now, whatever, Camilla Luddington is the woman who did, she was the voice, and they also used a motion capture to kind of get her, likeness. It says, Laura's face was redesigned in the Definitive Edition release on the Xbox One and PlayStation 4 to resemble the voice and motion capture actress Camilla Luddington. Yeah. See, I thought it was the same person, but clearly they're not. If you look them both up on IMDb like I just did, they are completely different people. I guess the version of the game that I had wasn't that version that showed her face, or was meant to look like her face anyway. But yeah, the movie was great. The film's plot was based on the 2013 reboot of the game, which was a great game. It had elements of Indiana Jones, and it had, like, you know, the Mummy kind of feel to it as well. I don't want to give away anything. It's the problem. I want to talk about this movie, but I don't want to give away. I don't want to do any, you know.
Spoiler alert.
I don't want to do that. So, let's see here. I'm looking at the trivia on IMDb for this movie. For this film, Alicia wanted to play a strong and physical fit Lara Croft. So her goal was to gain enough muscle and strength. Walton Goggins stated that she is just a real powerhouse. She made me embarrassed to take my shirt off and go to the gym 5 days a week. Yeah, she was. Apparently, she also did a lot of her own stunts too. Let's see, where does it say that? Yeah, here. Alicia put on a lot of muscle to play Lara, as she wanted the character to be as realistic as possible, and also did all of her own stunts. So, I don't know, there was also elements of, like, the Da Vinci Code in this, in that there was puzzles that she had to figure out to get more clues, and, you know, lots of running around and being shot at by the bad guy. So, yeah, if you haven't seen this movie, I recommend seeing it. It's definitely better than the last two. Alicia is the woman who did it now. Let's see, the last movie was in 2003. It's been a long time since that last movie came out. And in that movie, it was Angelina Jolie that played her. Angelina Jolie actually looked more like the original PlayStation version of Lara Croft. You know, big pouty lips and skinny waist and big chest. And in this newer version, she looks more realistic. She doesn't look like a cartoon character, or more appropriate, a video game character. So proportionate, you know, height weight proportionate in this movie. And it was really cool. Like I said, I don't want to give away anything, so you have to just take my word for it. This movie is great. Gotta go watch it. All right, hey, I'm back. Sorry about that. I was reading something on the screen and I totally wasn't paying attention to the recording. So, I enjoyed the movie. Speaking of movies, I actually recently attempted to watch The Room, and then I also watched The Disaster Artist, because everyone's been talking about these two movies. And to be honest, I got about 30 minutes into The Room and turned it off. The dialogue was terrible. I mean, in the first 30 minutes. I guess if I was to push past the first 30 minutes, it would have gotten a bit funnier. But in the first 30 minutes, there was literally 3 sex scenes. So one every 10 minutes, it felt like. And that's kind of what turned me off on that movie. That and the dialogue was just god-awful. But I watched the Disaster Artist, and that was actually pretty funny. You kind of feel bad for the guy. And, you know, oh, hi, Mark. You know, I mean, yeah, the movie is really quotable. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've heard that line in the last year. Posted on Facebook or in videos I've watched and stuff, so just, and didn't know what that was even referencing. And it was funny. I mean, you feel bad for the guy because he legitimately wants to, you know, to make a good movie, and everyone thinks it is, you know, funny and hilarious, even though he didn't intend it to be hilarious. So, but he's kind of rolling with the punches, and he's getting the notoriety, I guess, and the fame that he wanted, you know, 15 years ago. So yeah, I you know what, and I'll probably try rewatching The Room again, only because I did enjoy the Disaster Artist. It was pretty good. There is a riff tracks version of it, basically MST3K version, making fun of this The Room. And if nothing else, I recommend going to Riff Tracks and getting that. I don't know. I'm still confused as to why it is as popular as it is, because it was just god awful. But the stuff that has come from it has been awesome. So maybe that's why. Oh, and another thing that was announced yesterday is Indiana Jones 5 starts filming in April. So I posted on Facebook. I want to hear your guys' Indiana Jones senior citizen movie titles. So I posted the story and I said, hey, let's hear your movie titles. If, you know, by the time this movie comes out, he's gonna be 80 years old. Okay, so I got a few people who commented and came up with their was Indiana Jones and the Early Bird Special, Indiana Jones and the Sunshine State, Indiana Jones and the Social Security Administration of Doom, Indiana Jones and the Medicare Scare. These actually sound more like Scooby-Doo titles, but yeah, it's still funny. Indiana Jones and the Setting Up the OurTime.com Profile. Indiana Jones and the Golden Girls Adventure. The Golden Girls Adventure at the Buffet. The Indiana Jones, the Matlock Files. Okay, some of those are funnier than others, but yeah, those are pretty awesome. Thanks, you guys, for posting your responses. If you guys have better ones, feel free to go to Facebook.com and look for this story and go ahead and comment with your suggestion of the senior citizens version of Indiana Jones. I don't know, I thought that was pretty funny. Let's see here. Oh, man, and somebody on Kickstarter has created or is creating a Princess Bride role-playing game. Their goal is looks like they've surpassed their goal, honestly. Their goal was 45,000 and they got 78,078 dollars. Wow, that's impressive. They have 1,011 backers. That's amazing. I'm curious as to how when this is going to be released and whatnot. Let's see here. It looks like you can actually get when you back it, you get a digital copy of it, or you can get a digital copy, or you can get a hard copy of the book. There's also a deluxe version of the book. In the inconceivable version, plus there's a bunch of add-ons and fudge dice. I don't know. This looks pretty awesome. I went ahead and shared it on the Facebook page. I'm also going to share it here on Twitter. Actually, I think it's already on Twitter because it should have cross-posted from the Facebook page. But yeah, either way, you can find it on the Facebook page. Check that out. And then there's also this story here about Stephen Amell from Arrow, the guy who plays Oliver Queen / the Green Arrow. He wanted to see there be a crossover between Arrow and Pinky and the Brain. Check this out. Here's something interesting that came up on my Feedly list. It looks as though Stephen Amell, who plays Oliver Queen, Green Arrow, on the show Arrow on the CW, would like to see a crossover between Arrow and Pinky and the Brain. Now, I know what you're thinking. Why would anyone want to do that? That seems... Excuse me, let me fix this. All right, there we go. And why would they want to do that? You know, well, why not? I think it would make for a, if nothing else, it would make for a funny episode. And as far as how they would do it, well, honestly, I think the way they would do it is probably how they did the Supernatural Scooby-Doo crossover, which is going to be airing soon. I don't really follow Supernatural. Haven't in a while. I think about season 2 or 3 is when I stopped watching that show. Although I may go back into watching it again. Because I plan on watching the Scooby-Doo crossover. And that's probably why they're doing it, is to bring people back to watching the show. Now, how they're doing it on that show is that, I guess, magic or something happens where the Winchester brothers become cartoons. And they run into Mystery Incorporated. And, of course, they are aware that they're cartoons, and they're aware of Scooby-Doo. You know, they know it's a cartoon and whatnot. So there's that. But I think that would, if that show can do it, then why not Arrow, right? That's how I feel about it. I would love to see, one of the things I would love to see, though, if they ever did it, would be to have the actors who play Pinky and the Brain have also parts in a live-action portion of the show. That would be great. Either have, I don't know what kind of characters to make them, but, you know, have Ron Paulson and Maurice LaMarche come on and be, you know, some other characters in the show. Maybe some mafia guys or mob bosses or whatever. But then, in the animated version, them being Pinky and the Brain. Or actually, it would be awesome is if the live action characters they played are similar to Pinky and the Brain. Have them both play characters that are based on Pinky and the Brain. So the voices are the same, and they even look a little bit like the two mice. That'd be cool. That's how I would do it anyway. But yeah, so there's actually an article here on Screen Rant about this. I'm going to go ahead and share this on... I'm going to go ahead and share this on the social media so you can... Here, I'll bring this up here and I'll share this on Twitter so you guys can check it out. Oh, wait, no, this is... That's not the one. I'm going to go ahead and mark that, though. Where is it? Scroll up. It's there. Ah, here it is. All right, I'm going to go ahead and share this story so you guys can check it out for yourself. It's on the twitter.com/2OSisGeek. You can check it out there. And let's see what else. I think that's it for now. Or actually, I may have some other things to talk about, but I'm going to stop recording right here. Yeah, so, well, yeah. I mean, that, I don't know. I would love to see that. And, you know, I think a lot of people, other people would too. And let's see here. Oh, well. let's see. Oh, yeah, St. Patrick's Day was this last weekend, so hopefully you guys did something festive. I sat at home, and I watched Boondock Saints 1 and 2 and a bunch of other Irish movies that I like to watch, like Darby O'Gill and the Little People, The Quiet Man, The Commitments, and a movie that Eddie Griffin did called Irish Jam. And I actually recently found out that movie wasn't even filmed in Ireland. it was actually filmed in Great Britain, or England, rather. But yeah, I don't know, I like that movie. I don't care, I actually saw a bunch of people hating on the movie because of the content of it. It was ultimately a love story, so I liked it. Of course, you know, everybody, like, it's the luck of the Irish, and da-da-da, and, you know, let's drink green beer, and, you know, everyone's Irish today kind of thing, and everyone's saying, Happy St. Paddy's Day, or Happy St. Patty's Day, and, you know, I said to a few people, like, it's not St. Patty's Day, it's St. Paddy's Day, P-A-D-D-Y. There's, Patty is like a hamburger pad. Or pat, whatever. Totally screwed that up. Hamburger patty, you know. Versus and actually, I think somebody posted the origins of Saint Patrick, the Gaelic spelling of his name is P A D something or other. So that's where patty comes from. Yeah. Let's see here. About that. Oh, and you know, somebody asked me the other day what happened to the old episodes, all the old episodes with you and Joe. I said, well, you know, I still have them on my computer, and when I no longer had access to, or was no longer going to have access to hosting, I downloaded all the tracks off the internet, and I saved them on my computer, and I just haven't re-uploaded them, and I decided the other day that, if you guys are interested in listening to the older episodes, I will make them available, I will make them available through my Patreon page. Right now, I posted, just a few days ago, I posted 4 old episodes on the Patreon page, patreon.com/2OSisGeek. And if you subscribe, you'll have access to all the old episodes that I'll be posting. But initially, I posted 4 just to give you something to listen to. And I will be posting more as the weeks go on. I'll post a new classic episode of the podcast from back when it was just me and Joe. There's even a time where it was me, Joe, and Andrew, and those will be posted as well. If you want to have access to those, subscribe. It's as simple as that. And basically, the reason why I'm doing this is the podcast costs me money every month to do this. Hosting is not free. The few places that I've found that are free, there's always problems. There's always something that doesn't work right, or they want to splice in their own advertisements to make money off of my show. And I would prefer that if I'm going to make any money off of it, the money go into paying for hosting and, you know, keeping the podcast alive. And I think if you guys enjoy listening to my podcast, one of the ways to help would be to subscribe to Patreon. And you'll be able to listen to the classic episodes provided there. And I'll still make this part of the podcast will remain free. I'm not going to change that. I tried that in the past and it didn't work. I tried making the podcast available a few days beforehand for subscribers through Patreon before they went on to iTunes, and that didn't seem to really click. So I'm going to make the older episodes available, and you'll be able to listen to all the old ones as I post them through Patreon. And Patreon is a monthly subscription. I'm not asking a lot. You know, the minimum requirement to have access to all those classic episodes as I'm posting them is $1. You can, you know, subscribe more if you want to help me with the podcast. That'd be great. But minimum was $1. So I also have on the Facebook page a Shop Now button. That also helps the podcast. And the shop is basically my Cafe Press page, which puts the podcast logo on a t-shirt or hat or whatever it is that you end up finding in there. And, you know, portions of the sales go directly to help paying, you know, hosting and other costs that occur with running a podcast. Plus you get a cool t-shirt. So, and they're not marked up insanely expensive. I'm not actually trying to make any money for myself. I just want to be able to cover the cost of the podcast. That's basically all I'm trying to do here. So, if you don't want to subscribe and listen to the old episodes, you can get yourself a t-shirt or a mug or a flask or whatever it is I have on there. I have a bunch of things on there, mostly shirts and stuff, but, support the podcast. Help me out, you know. See here. There is a story. Oh, you know, and I was talking about Green Arrow and the Pink in the Brain. There's also kind of what led to that question being answered, Pink in the Brain, was that another CW show, Supernatural, is having a Supernatural Scooby-Doo crossover. And here's what I had to say about that. Here's another interesting article, and I actually already talked about this a little bit. On Screen Rant, there's an article here about the Supernatural Scooby-Doo crossover. It almost sounded like it. Scooby-Dooby-Dooby-Dooby-Dooby. Yeah. What's your name? Ooby-Dooby Scooby-Dooby-Dooby-Dooby. Yeah. Thumb Wars. Awesome, right? All right. Yep. Alright, so, it says here, there's a lot of anticipation for the upcoming Supernatural crossover with Scooby-Doo, but few seem to be as hyped as Eric Kripke. The creator of Supernatural has since gone on to bring out the likes of Revolution and Timeless on it to NBC. He's currently in the process of adapting Garth Ennis and Derek Robertson's The Boys for Amazon with Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg. But he'll likely always be remembered as the man who brought Sam and Dean Winchester to life. As such, it makes sense that Kripke would be one of the first people to review the upcoming Scooby Natural, in which the two famed monster hunters find themselves more animated than usual and palling around with Fred, Daphne, Velma, and of course Scooby and Shaggy. It's certainly not your conventional kind of crossover, not only because one show is live action and the other is animated, but also because their approach to violence and horror is, let's say, noticeably different. Yeah, that goes without saying, I think. there's some screenshots from it too. That shows I think that's Dean. Looks like Dean's being scared by one of the classic Scooby-Doo villains. Let's see here. I wonder if we will see the Scooby-Doo actors in the live-action equivalent of the section of the show, not equivalent section of the show, because I think they start off live-action and then they become animated and they go on to do this story with Scooby and the gang. I don't know. I don't know when this is coming. I know it's coming out soon. Oh, it says here, Supernatural returns with Scooby Natural on Thursday, March 29th at 8 p.m. on the CW. Okay, I'm definitely going to have my DVR set to record that. Well, like last night I watched Superior Donuts, and it had John DiMaggio on there. And I have never seen him in anything live action before, so that was kind of cool. But, I'm sure this will be like any other Scooby-Doo crossover we've had before, like, well, Scooby-Doo and the WWE, that one with the dead man, and, you know, they're in like a wacky racist kind of thing. So that one, that was one of those straight-to-video movies. Although the most recent one, which is the Scooby-Doo crossover with Batman the Brave and the Bold, that one was really good. So this could make for a good show. I'm looking forward to seeing it. It looks like it's going to probably be out. Like I said, it's on the 29th, and today's the 20th, so another 9 days before we can watch it. I am looking forward to seeing it. I know about you guys. If you're interested in watching this, let me know. Go ahead and comment on the Twitter where I shared this story, and we can talk about it. So yeah, I don't know. I'm looking forward. I have my DVR set to record it, so I'm looking forward to seeing it. Like I said, I'd love to see the actors from Scooby-Doo in the live action part of the show. That'd be great. Let's see here. Another thing I wanted to talk about was apparently there's going to be a whole part of the Solo movie is going to be about the Millennium Falcon. Well, there's going to be a large part of the movie about the Millennium Falcon, you know, because that's a big part of Han Solo, right? It's his ship. You know, he made the Kessel Run in 12 parsecs, you know, all that kind of stuff. And he won it in a game of chance against, you know, Lando. So let's listen to that. All right, here's something interesting. This was posted on ScreenRant.com. It says, Solo will reveal the Falcon's real identity. Okay, my question is how does a spaceship have an identity? Does it identify as a spaceship, or does it identify as a house? I don't know. Yeah, a little bit of a delay there, sorry. Let's see here. This is what it says. It says, Solo, the Star Wars story, is going to reveal the backstory of a lot of original Star Wars trilogy moments, some obvious, how Han met Chewbacca and Lando, some less so. The two finger salute Han and Lando shared in Return of the Jedi appears to be a smuggler hallmark. However, one of the biggest will be one of the most unexpected. It's looking like Solo revealed the identity of the Millennium Falcon. The Falcon in the Han Solo movie is a very different ship to the one audiences are used to. Considerably closer to its factory default, it's got extra plating. Hold on a second. Ah, sorry about that. Let's see. It's got extra plating with a cool white and blue color scheme and an upwards glancing radar dish, pristine white interior, and almost noticeably an escape pod at the front of its mandibles. The changes are striking, yet fit within the canon, well, mostly. The newer look does create strange plot holes due to its brief presence in Revenge of the Sith, thanks to Han's tease of making special modifications. It's expected Solo will explain how each of these aspects was changed ahead of A New Hope. I would like to see photos of this unaltered Millennium Falcon. Cause I have to be, I don't know if you've been listening to this podcast a while in the last 4 years. It's been made known that the Millennium Falcon is probably my favorite ship from the Star Wars universe. Something that Joe used to tease me about all the time. Because before I got my CPAP machine and I was able to get full 8 hours of sleep, I would randomly fall asleep throughout the day. And one time we were watching the Lego movie in theaters, and I woke up right when the Millennium Falcon showed up. And of course he said to me, "Of course you woke up at this point in the movie, because the Millennium Falcon's on screen." So yeah. So yes. I'm going to ahead and share this story. You can read the rest of it on the social media page. It will be on Twitter and Facebook. It doesn't look like there's any pictures of it. I'm not seeing here anyway. Although I would imagine if you did a Google search for it, you'd probably find it. Alrighty. All right. Well, yeah. I don't know. I've actually just been looking on Google to see if I can find myself some photos of the Falcon before his modifications, and there are actually a bunch of photos here. I'm gonna go ahead and share this image I found on Google image search. Alright. Here we go. Share this over here. Alrighty. Come on. Computer's moving slow. Really shouldn't complain about computer moving slow, because it's awesome to actually have a computer again. I haven't had a actual PC for so long. It's yeah. There we go. There we go. And then let's see here. What else did I want to talk about? Oh yes, Atari has announced that they. Well, I think they announced it a while back, but there's an article here about the newer Atari system that's coming out. Atari's having their first console in the last 20 years or so. So check this out. Atari has actually posted a photo of their new Atari box. The Atari box is now the Atari VCS. And you can pre-order it soon, as it says here on the Nerdist.com. This is what it says. Last year, Atari teased its first console in over two decades, the Atari box. Further details initially proved to be elusive. But Atari is finally ready to share the intel. The new system is getting a new name, say goodbye to the Atari box and hello to Atari VCS. The Atari VCS shares similarities to the Nintendo's popular NES Classic and Super NES Classic. The design is inspired by the aesthetic of the Atari 2600, which was originally released in 1977. In fact, the Atari VCS was the first name chosen for the 2600, and its latest console title has come full circle. As expected, the Atari VCS will play classic Atari games. However, it will also be able to play modern PC games as well. Wow, that's pretty cool. The catch is that the Atari VCS probably won't be able to handle most graphically intense PC titles. However, this could exponentially increase the number of games available for the system. This feature also may prove to be more enticing for modern gamers than titles from 30 to 40 years ago. See, that's one thing that Nintendo didn't do with the classic versions of the NES and the SNES. You can't play modern games on it. There's just X number of games on that system. This system looks like you can install other games onto it. So that's kind of cool. It says here, Atari originally planned to open the pre-orders for its new system last December, but the company pushed back its plans for at least a few months. We still don't know exactly when Atari intends to launch the Atari VCS, but according to to VentureBeat, this is where the story originally was posted, I guess, the official pre-order announcement will finally be made in April. Will the Atari VCS availability to play PC and retro games draw you in? Yeah. I don't know. I think, you know, it depends on the cost of this thing. Now, there's actually a photo of this device, and it has a very retro 2600 feel to it, and it has a classic joystick as well as a newer looking. It almost resembles a PlayStation 1 controller. So, but it has the classic joystick with the single button on it as well. So that's cool. I'm gonna go ahead and share this as well on the social media so you guys can check it out for yourself. I don't know. It looks really cool to me. All right. Yeah, you know what? I can't believe I said that. Not PlayStation 1, Xbox One. Yeah. Okay. Way to go, Todd. Yeah. See here. Oh man, and it also looks like more information about the Teen Titans live action show that's going to be on the Warner Brothers streaming service. There's more information about that was recently posted online. Check that out. Here's another interesting story. Titans TV show production photos confirm Confirm Maroney crime family. That's what it's called. Okay. The Maroney crime family. Okay, I'm really looking forward to this live-action Titans show. I dug the original Teen Titans, and I really loved the Young Justice TV series. This could be good. I don't know, I would love to see, you know, some of the first tier superheroes make appearances on these shows. Unlike and I'm pretty sure the Titans TV show is going to be on the Warner Brothers streaming service, kind of like the new season of Young Justice is going to be on there. So, I don't know, we'll see. Like, the only time a first-tier superhero shows up in the Arrowverse was when Supergirl switched networks. And I think they used Superman to get people to come over to the new, to season two to see the new version of the show, which was basically the same show. They just, they changed filming locations and some of the cast, I guess, weren't going to be a part of the season two. Although, and I'm specifically talking about Cat Grant. Cat Grant wasn't on season two as much as she was on season one. Mainly because I just read this recently that they moved production from, I think, New York. Maybe it was L.A. Either way, it wasn't where they currently film, which is Vancouver, B.C., in British Columbia, so she wasn't willing to, or couldn't, commute out to Vancouver for the type of shooting schedule she had before on season one. So basically, in that they made Jimmy the new boss for, you know, the Cathco magazine or whatever. So. And that's the only time you've ever seen Superman in the show is when they're bringing it over to the new network. So, in this, however, I would love to see them show Batman, Superman, any of the characters that haven't been on any of the shows, because they don't want to, they don't want to confuse people, because there's the movie version and there's now a TV version. Seems silly that they would have two separate universes, especially considering that the TV universe works so well on the CW. And with how badly the Justice League movie was received, you would think that maybe they would utilize the CW Arrowverse as the prime cinematic universe. But who knows? This is what it says about the Teen Titans, or the Titans TV show. It says, filming is underway on Akiva Goldman, Jeff Johns, and Greg Berlanti's show, which will bring the beloved Teen Titans to the screen in their first ever live-action outing. After being long-tipped for their own movie, it looks like the Titans, for now anyway, will be left to head up their own TV show. Although villains like the demonic Trigon, the immortal Ra's al Ghul, are rumored to play part, fans now know that the Maronis are set to stalk the streets of Gotham and beyond. I think the Maronis also made an appearance on the show Gotham as well. But I think in the first season, I think they were in there, but they didn't stay very long. I don't know, and it goes on, it says, production photos shared by Talkies Network revealed a trailer with the name Stunt Maroni 1 on the set. Sadly, it doesn't confirm which murderous mobster will be making their debut alongside the Titans. Originally under the reign of Big Lou Maroni, Titans would also feature Salvador, Pino, and Umberto, or in fact, any all of the family. However, it looks most likely that Sal Maroni will be the man leading the family when the show airs. Doesn't have any photos here. It has a photo of Maroni from the Dark Knight movie, which was played by Eric Roberts. I was hoping to see actual photos, but nope, not here. I went ahead and shared this on the Twitter so you guys can read this article in its entirety for yourself, and I'll have to listen to me trying to read it out loud, which my reading skills are okay, but sometimes I trip over words and stuff, so whatever.
Yeah.
And well, that's okay. I mean, everyone has their strengths and weaknesses, right? One last thing I wanted to share with you guys today, and this is actually turning out to be kind of a long episode. In the last few episodes have all been around 30 minutes, give or take. This is, I think, the first time in a while that I've managed to have almost an hour. It's almost 45 minutes right now. So, got one more thing to share. So, check this out. This is actually kind of a funny story. There's someone had posted a meme recently of Thanos killing someone's dog, and it turned out to be John Wick's. So, check this out. All right, now this one's actually really cool. A fan actually made made his own comic tying Avengers Infinity War with John Wick to defeat Thanos. I saw this, didn't know what the hell I was looking at. I didn't actually read it when I first saw it. But let's see here. I actually saw somebody post a meme about Thanos killing somebody's puppy, and it turned out to be John Wick. This is... Oh, here we go. Let me open this up so I can get a good look at this. I love it when they post an image on a website, and it's so tiny. At least I can't read it. My eyesight's not that great. This is what it says here. Where is the Soul Stone? And this is Thanos. I should try doing an invoice. Where is the Soul Stone? You will never retrieve it. It is bound, sealed inside this dog. Ha. And he rips the dog apart. Wow, that's really a lot of blood. Was that your plan? Wait for it. Hey guys, has anyone seen my new dog? Or actually, let me try that again. Hey guys, has anyone seen my new dog? And it shows Thanos all like, "Ah, shit, I'm in trouble now." And then it shows Tony Stark and Doctor Strange high-fiving. I'm going to go ahead and share this so you guys can check it out for yourself. The visuals are actually way, way better than the dialogue, to be honest. Yes. Yeah. I don't know. That's pretty awesome. Let's see here. Yeah, I don't know. I've had conversations with people about, John Wick versus so-and-so and things like that. And John Wick is a badass character, to say the least. Think of Neo if he, actually, there's no connection between Neo and John Wick other than the fact they're both played by Keanu Reeves. I don't know, John Wick's a badass, and if you haven't seen that movie, it's basically a retired hitman. His wife dies of cancer, and the day she dies, she has scheduled a delivery to the house. Yeah, I end up going on about the story of John Wick, and I don't need to have that here. So if you haven't seen that movie, I recommend checking it out. It's actually a pretty good action flick. The comic, it's actually, I have it posted on the Facebook page. You guys can check it out. It's a single page, fan-made comic. I read it out loud, but I think it really does better if you see it for yourself. My acting skills suck. I'm not an actor. I would like to be. I think that would be fun, but I'm not an actor. So yeah, check that out. This has been episode 9 of the rebooted podcast that is To Us As Geek. And like I said earlier, if you want to hear like the classic episodes, go subscribe to my Patreon page. Patreon.com/2OSSGeek, and you can listen to all the old episodes. I'm going to be posting them. I posted 4 to start with, but I'm going to start posting them weekly, all the classic episodes. And I don't think I'll put them in any particular order, so the numbers may be all over the place. But either way, each episode, I think, is still entertaining to listen to. I may end up listening to myself just because I don't really have communication with Joe anymore, so it'll bring up some fond memories for me. So, and like I said before on the podcast, I don't really have any ill will towards Joe. I really don't know specifically what I did for him to, like, decide he doesn't want to be my friend anymore. But, you know, I know I'm not a saint. I know that. You know, I have my moments where I can be a pretty ornery guy, you know, and that's being polite. You know, I can be a downright bastard, honestly. But you know, I was going through a lot of things in my life at that point in time. So, anyways, I'm not gonna go into my personal life on the podcast. If you want to listen to those old episodes, those classic episodes of 206 Geek with me and Joe, subscribe to my Patreon page, and you'll have access to all those classic episodes of the show. I will, and it's, like I said earlier, I'm not asking a lot, but it does, all the money that is going to be made through the Patreon page is going to go into help paying for the hosting for the regular part of the show, which is this episode, these newer episodes. And, you know, if you guys can help out with a few dollars, that'd be great. You know, I'm not going to be living off of this. At least, I mean, I don't think so. It'd be great if I could, but that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for help paying for the podcast hosting and, you know, keeping that going. And, you know, and if, you know, people want to support more, they can. They can also buy t-shirts through the Cafe Press page, which also, you know, will help. Heck, if I get enough people subscribing, I might start doing other things like going to conventions and stuff, which I can't afford to do right now. You know, if people are willing to do that, then great. I'll get more content as far as going to conventions and meeting people and interviewing people, getting out and doing all that. Would be a lot of fun for me. And so, again, patreon.com/206geek. The minimum is $1 a month. So that's, and if I get 15 people to subscribe, my hosting is taken care of every month. I also have a level on there. So if you want to, I'm not saying you need to, or it would be awesome if somebody did. There is a level on there that's only available for one person. If one person wants to subscribe at the $15 level, that will basically cover... Actually, no, it's not 15. It's $20. Because I'm not sure if Patreon charges me anything for you know, having money given to me. So I have a little bit of a buffer there. But that person will basically be paying for hosting, and it would be great if someone could help me out with that, because right now I'm on a limited amount of funds every month, and I'm taking part of that to pay for hosting, because I want to do this podcast, and doing this podcast is one of the few things in this world right now that makes me happy. I enjoy doing this, you know. I want to be entertaining for other people. It's one of the few things I think I can do well, because I'm a talker, and if I'm unable to communicate with people, it starts to affect me in a bad way. So I'm wanting to do this to kind of help maintain, maintain me being a happy person. I've been dealing with a lot of depression the last few months, and discovered that the podcast is one of the things that makes me not feel that way. So, if you want to help me out with this podcast, please subscribe to the Patreon page or buy a T-shirt off of the Cafe Press. Every little bit will help. There are three levels on the Patreon page. Minimum is $1. The next one up is $6, you know, it's the cost of cup of coffee. I can speak English, I really can. And then the last one is reserved for one person. If one person wants to subscribe for $20 a month, that will take care of the hosting, period. And it's, you know, And then I won't have to worry about that anymore. And the podcast will stay alive for as long as someone's willing to help me out with that. And so, like I said, go to patreon.com/206geek and subscribe. And you can have access to the old episodes as I post them. So far, I've got 4 on there, plus a couple of other things that were there from when I tried to do this before. But I'm going forward, I'm going to start posting new episodes every week, or new classic episodes every week. They're not going to be chronological order. I'm probably going to pick random episodes and post them. And thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you guys next time.
Or TMG. You're a 206 geek, a 206 geek. If you're hitting up a barcade, spending all your weeks,
you're a 206 geek, a 206 geek.
If you're addicted to the novelties at Archie McPhee,
you're a 206 geek, a 206 geek.
If you enjoy some pipe smoke on a duck truck boat,
you're a 206 geek, a 206 geek.
If you get your fandom on at half a dozen cons,
you're a 206 geek, a 206 geek.
If you're dropping your income, turning trolling car kingdom,
you're a 206 geek.